Come be a part of Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics with your host, Dr. Ed Holliday. Hear the voices of liberty speaking all across America. Doc Holliday provides thought-provoking interviews and commentary about the issues and actions that are afflicting this country and what we need to do to get America back on track. Get fired up. Get inspired. Get on board with Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics right now.
And here we go.
Once again, that's the sound of rock cracking, and you've got Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. I'm your host, Ed Holliday. You're listening to us on webtalkradio.net. That's webtalkradio.net. We're glad you're listening to us. To deal or not to deal about Iran? Now, that's the question. To deal or not to deal? The United States Congress is going to have to answer that question. And what should they know? Listen to today's show, and you'll find out. Also, we talked last week about Greece and their situation, financial situation. We're going to give you a follow-up on Greece. And then before we get into that, let me just tell you, there was a great tragedy last week. We've had several tragedies in America, but it is appalling when we have four Marines gunned down in Chattanooga, Tennessee, by a Kuwaiti, or a citizen born in Kuwait. We don't know if he's a citizen of America at the point when we're doing this recording. I'm sure there'll be a lot found out. But just suffice it to say, America is under attack. And I'm getting tired of people calling domestic terrorism. Let's call it Islamic extremism. That's what it is, Islamic extremism. And until our country, until our leaders in this country, until this administration know who the enemy is, how are we going to defend America? But I pray for the families of the fallen Marines. And we extend all our sympathies. And I hope and pray after Fort Hood, after shootings in other places, other states, and our men and women in uniform are losing their lives, and this Islamic extremism has come. You remember when they said, if we don't fight them over there, we're going to have to fight them over here. Ladies and gentlemen, they are over here. They're over here. We have to start working together, and this administration keeps burying its head in the sand. You know, we had one crazy dude allegedly went and shot the nine African-American members in a church at a Bible study. He had a rebel flag in one picture. And so now the rebel flag is coming down all over America, and pressures to get it down. We got an illegal alien that shot, that had been deported five times. He keeps coming back to America. Now, obviously, he doesn't apply, so he's coming in illegally, shoots and kills an innocent lady in San Francisco. Where's the outrage? You know, we trying to take down rebel flags everywhere. How about putting up a fence to keep the illegal aliens out? Now, where's the outrage that, again, we see Islamic extremism going to kill. And I know not all Muslims are extremist. I know majority are peace-loving. And this is not against the Muslim religion as much as it's those who are taking the Quran and reading it and saying this is pure Muslim. By reading the Quran, the ISIS says this is what a caliphate is. And they're getting people over in America to do the dirty deeds like was done in Chattanooga. Now, obviously, we don't know all aspects of this shooting. And I don't want to go beyond speculation other than saying that we know there are extremists here in America. And we are losing lives of our men and women in uniform. And Congress, if the administration won't do something, Congress, please have some hearings. And let's find out and let's talk about why our men and women are dying from extremists. extremism of the Islamic state like ISIS? Are they calling forth and people listening to them on Facebook and social media? We need to know for our sons and daughters, husbands and wives, those we love in the United States military and our first responders and law enforcement officers. So much in America that's scary. And that's why we need to keep together and work together. And we'll keep you informed right here on Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. Now, Greece, the listener last week's show, we laid it out there. They were in hot water. The people voted, we don't want any more austerity. And guess what? The European Union said, you're going to have it if you want to deal with us. And this past week, the Greece Parliament passed the new austerity measures that are pretty tough, even though the people voted they didn't want the austerity measures. But it did remind me, it reminded me of a song, an old Beach Boys song that or some rappers got a hold of. And take a listen to this, see if this doesn't sound like the Grease people singing for us all. Well, that's an updated version of the old Beach Boys tune, Wipeout, and talking about Greece, talking about our future financial mess in this entire globe, the entire planet. Are we talking about a wipeout? Are we talking about just what they were singing about, taking a vacation? Well, you know, that's, we talked about in last week's show how the Greece people said, we don't want more austerity. We want to continue to retire at 50 years of age. We want to continue having our social programs. You know, we don't need any more hardships. Well, it sounded like that group of rappers saying it's time to take a break and head out and get the surfboard out. But the European Union saying, no, it's time to get to work. You got to pay your bills. So we're seeing some things happening in Greece. But this is what's unsettling to me, Doc Holliday, in the financial picture. If I told you a little bit of a nutshell view, and is it a clearer picture? Well, I'd say Greece made things a little bit blurry. Maybe it's going to come around. Looks like a bailout's there. But what is scary, that's a little bitty economy, a little bit part of the European Union. But what happens when China sneezes financially? And there are some things happening. We hadn't mentioned it on the show. So many other things are happening. But China has, they're making rules that you can't sell your stock when you got major shareholders, and they're saying, well, you can't sell your stock. They're making up rules. Of course, it's a communist nation. They can make up rules in their stock market. And it's something that the Chinese have learned a lot about capitalism and got their stock market up and going, but they're having some trouble. So instead of letting the market be free and it correct, they're trying to keep a deep correction from happening. But there's signs the economy not only is slowing down, but there's probably been some fraudulent activity. Wow, who would have thought? Fraudulent activity in a place where the Communist Party rules single-handedly and the military walks hand-in-hand and owns and a lot of the military leaders have a lot of stock and a lot of private businesses or semi-private businesses in China. Guess what? There may not be everything, all the I's dotted and the T's crossed in all the books. How about that? We're finding that out now. And the stock market in China is on uneasy terms. What happens if the stock market in China crashes? What happens to those who sell stock on the New York Stock Exchange, NASDAQ? the Chinese companies. Watch that very, very carefully. Very carefully, because it will. If China sneezes with their huge economy that affects the world, and if they're not able to generate and continue their growth, then their hiccups and their sneezes are going to really cause some dramatic shuffles around the world. This is not a time we need that, when Greece has got its financial woes, but that's just one part of the European Union. Remember the PIGS. Went over it. P-I-G-S. You know what that stands for? Portugal, Italy, Greece, Spain. All of them in financial trouble. The European Union, the stronger financial powers, trying to keep them all in line and keep everything afloat for the euro. And we're not getting into the technical issues on this show, but I do want you to know that we're keeping our eyes on that, and I think you better keep your eyes on it. And it could spell some problems around the world, and yes, it could spell problems for the United States. And we have seen our economy. It's not robust. We've talked about that. When I was running for Congress, I talked about how we needed a robust economy, and the things that are happening in our Congress, and especially in our administration with the EPA, is cutting the ability of our private companies to work at their very best, to work with the very potential that they could do with energy, production, all across America. We are bowing down to the liberal agenda of more regulation, and that you can put more and more people on the dole, and health care with all these things, Medicare and Medicaid expansion, cutting money out of Medicare, all these things of the Affordable Care Act are working against the economy. When you can't work more than 30 hours a week, and a lot of employers are trying to get away from having to be under the thumb of the government by not hiring people over 30 hours a week, and that has a big effect on dampening the economy. We've talked about that on the show, but I want you to understand all these things can come home to roost, so to speak, and this, we don't have a robust economy by any means, and the growth seems to be shrinking. We are playing fire with the devil, and when it comes to trying to get our economy going, and we need that to have a strong military, have a strong place in the world to make decisions. And talking about decisions, it's time to remind you, you're listening to Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. You're listening to us right here on webtalkradio.net. In just a minute, we're going to be talking about Iran, to deal or not to deal. Before we do, let me remind you, we got archive shows. Go back and listen to the archives. We got some great listeners. You're telling your friends and your neighbors, we continue to grow because of you. And we're presenting Rock Splitting Politics in a way that you'll hear things here you won't hear other places. And I've got to remind you, with this presidential race that's going on, and Democrats and Republicans, but of course so many Republicans, 15 now, and are more going to dive in. But there are some that are showing some weak links. And when you look at the fundraising, you look at how much money the candidates can raise. And I can tell you, because I ran for Congress a few months ago, and you know that, those have been listening to the show, and there were 13 candidates. And when you try to get your message out, and 12 other people are trying to get their message out, it becomes more difficult than a lot of people think. So it's not your usual campaign. And I think we're going to be seeing some of that happening here in the next few weeks and months. And what about Donald Trump? I think somebody said he had given his campaign about $1.9 million. How much has he run on that $1.9 million? Think how many times he's been on the airways. Think what he's done. Now, am I backing Donald Trump? I'm not, but I'm saying Donald Trump is getting so much publicity. One thing he is, the Donald, he's not afraid what he wants to say, and some people are going, I like the fact he's not backing down. So he is really making some of these other candidates very sore, because they think, how are we going to get FaceTime? How are we going to get television time. How do we get when everybody wants to interview Donald Trump? Well, that's the dynamics. This is American politics, and you're listening to Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. I'm glad you are, and we will be watching the race very closely. But right now, it's time to turn to the deal with Iran. And here we go. President Obama, you no doubt you've heard about the deal. And I need to explain to you, what's the Corker bill? Well, back when they started negotiating with Iran, there's a lot of people wondering, does the Congress get a say in it? Now, I go back, and my first question is, why isn't this treated like a treaty where two-thirds of the Senate have to approve it? Well, they took that off the page, off the table. I don't have time because I don't have all the knowledge of why they could not say this is a treaty. But the administration wouldn't say it's a treaty, so therefore they said the Congress wouldn't have any say in it. And that Congress did not like that. So they came up with the Corker bill, and pretty much it says this, that the president, once he has the bill in hand and he officially gets it to Congress, then there's a 5 days the president, once that five-day bill is presented, then the Congress has 60 days, and they can vote it up or down or every which way, add to it, whatever they think. But they got to do it in 60 days. If they don't do anything in 60 days, it's a done deal by the president. If they say, we don't like this deal, then they got to have more than 60 votes. And then the president can veto that. And if he vetoes their decision that they don't like the deal still goes through unless it can be overridden with two-thirds majority of both houses. So a treaty is just dependent upon, under the Constitution, is just dependent upon the Senate. But this bill that was passed in Congress, signed by the president, said this deal with Iran would be subject to being passage and vetoed, and if it's vetoed, then two-thirds of the Congress, of House and the Senate, must override a presidential veto. So, boiling down, there's 60 days. The count is going now, and this includes, the 60 days includes, and you know the White House knew this, it includes having a one-month recess in August. So, everything has to move quickly for this Congress to find out and try to get into the details. And some of these things are classified, so only Congress can go in certain places and find out the classified parts. And so it's going to be tough not to go along with the president. It's going to be tough to get this stopped. And it'll take, even though the Republicans have the House and the Senate, it's going to take quite a few Democrats, about 12 Democrats in the Senate, at least, to overcome a presidential veto. And in the House, it might even be harder to get two-thirds of vote. So these are the things that the Congress is up against if they don't like the bill. And they got to find out and read it. So we do have some clips from the president, and I'm going to play those and the other clips, and I'll stop and make some comments in there. But I do have to say this. Nobody is saying this that I've seen anywhere. But it's a risky bill for America. And the president said, well, it's on my watch. And 10 years down the road, if they get the bomb, it's going to be my legacy. And he'll. But, you know, it's not that. If this deal with Iran is taken, it's taking the president on a risk, taking America on a risk. But I'll say this. You hear this from Doc Holliday. Hadn't heard it from anywhere else. I've not heard anybody else say this. But it's putting the Democratic Party on the line. Did you hear me? It's not the president's legacy. But if the Democrats don't stop this, then the entire party and if Iran starts cheating on this right off the bat, if it's not verifiable, if parts of this agreement do not hold water, then the Democrat and the Democratic Party will be at risk. It could risk the White House in 2016 and the control of Congress. And this is a risky proposition for the Democratic Party. It's not President Obama who's on the line. It's who is getting into the next election. President Obama won't run again. But the Democratic Party will hold the blame if this is not a verifiable, always verifiable agreement. If the Iranians are cheating, what happens? Well, the Democrats should lose every position they have. The American people, if this is a bad deal, should turn on the Democratic Party. And I believe the president is putting at risk the Democratic Party. That's my opinion. Now, let's hear from President Barack Obama himself on this deal.
Critics say, well, we could have negotiated a better deal. Okay, what does that mean? I think the suggestion among a lot of the critics has been that a better deal, an acceptable deal, would be one in which Iran has no nuclear capacity at all, peaceful or otherwise. The problem with that position is that there is nobody who thinks that Iran would or could ever accept that, and the international community does not take the view that Iran can't have a peaceful nuclear program. They agree with us that Iran cannot have a nuclear weapon. And so we don't have diplomatic leverage to eliminate every vestige of a peaceful nuclear program in Iran. What we do have the leverage to do is to make sure they don't have a weapon. That's exactly what we've done.
Is that really what you've just done, Mr. President? You can say you're keeping Iran from getting a nuclear weapon. Do you mean a nuclear weapon for 1 year, 5 years, 10 years? It's the reading down the road, Mr. President. It's just like you're putting in parentheses, well, they won't get a weapon for the next 5 years. What happens after 5 years? You just became president in 2008. Time moves fast, Mr. President. But this is Doc Holliday's opinion. I just don't trust you, Mr. President, because you've misled me. I'm still waiting to get my $2,500 back savings from Obamacare, my insurance premiums. You didn't trust you, but you said I'd get $2,500 for my family, and mine is going up $6,000. So you can see I would love to verify your trustworthiness, but that's a whole nother subject. I think somebody who wrote the book, The Art of the Deal. Let's see what Donald Trump had to say, Mr. President. He said, you know, nobody could negotiate them not to have any nuclear capacity. Well, what would Mr. Trump say? Well, how would he would have dealt with them?
The Iranians are very good negotiators. The Persians are always great negotiators. They are laughing at us back in Iran.
Trump says he would have made sure Americans held in Iran were released as part of the deal.
You're in the Oval Office. Iran and the specter of them having a nuclear weapon is in front of you. What do you do?
Well, first of all, it wouldn't be that soon. And second of all, what I would do is I would have made a deal not from desperation. I would have doubled and tripled up the sanctions, and I would have made a much better deal.
Now, why did Donald Trump understand? Did you hear what Donald said before you start negotiating? You put two or three more times the sanctions on Iran, really put them in a squeeze, and the art of the deal. This president went ahead and negotiated, like Trump said, out of desperation. He wanted something for his legacy. He's forgetting what's about America. He's thinking about himself for a legacy. Iran, our enemy. Can we verify this? And then, like, when Iran sees us in desperation, did you hear what the Donald said? Mr. President, you went out of weakness, and the art of the deal is not your expertise. Obviously, you're John Kerry the one. So I have to say, looking at this, what the president said, he's seeing everything the wrong way, I do believe. But that's not just my view. We've heard others. Now listen to Fox News contributor Mr. Hayes.
Steve, a lot of people are saying Russia is the big winner tonight.
Well, Russia is certainly going to be a big winner financially, given its arms investments in Iran and the ones that are to come. But I want to go back to the Hillary Clinton statement for a second. I think it's worth pausing on that for a minute. I mean, she embraces the deal and says, in effect, we're going to approve this deal and we're going to deal with Iran and their bad behavior later. Think about that. This is a deal that cedes vast power to the Iranian regime, flush with money after this deal, and now we are going to, after having basically formalized them as the regional hegemon, now we're going to try to deal with their other behavior. This is exactly backwards. If I were advising Republican presidential candidates, I would tell them to make that famous.
Well, listen to Mr. Hayes. I think he's pretty much saying Hillary Clinton has learned how to lead from behind. You give all the power to Iran, let them be the regional power, and then you let them lead, and America goes behind. Is that the new Clinton-Obama plan? Lead from behind in the Middle East and let Iran take the lead. Obviously, that's very, very scary. It's just flat out scary that we got people in a government that are making the Iran deal, and we got somebody like Hillary Clinton that's clapping her hands and saying it's a good deal. Well, the American people need to be speaking up, and that includes you. That's my view on the Iran deal, and we'll talk some more as more input comes in, as Congress has hearings on this, then we can really get into these issues. But I don't like what I see, and I'm not the only one. Prime Minister Israel Netanyahu does not like this deal either. He said it's giving Iran the yellow cake and letting them eat it too. And I agree. How about you? Send me an email. Shoot me an email. This decision with Iran will continue to dominate the headlines. It should. Somehow, of all the news coming out, it would be a shame if this most important deal that includes the future of America, but not only America, the future of Israel, the future of the Middle East, and indeed the world is looking at what's going on with Iran. And when they see a president of the United States deals in such a weak way, I mean, you got people all across the world celebrating, thinking, how much can we get out of the United States? And nobody's licking their chops any more than Vladimir Putin. And if you've listened to the show over the last few years, you know I've done shows about how Vladimir Putin is just running circles around President Barack Obama. And it's scary to think what he might do here in the last year and a half of the president's administration. It's very scary. You know, they haven't backed out of the Ukraine. Of course, they took over, you know, that part of the Ukraine, Crimea, and just took it over. And we said, we're going to have sanctions. Are they working? Now we got Putin saying the Baltic countries that were given freedom after the Soviet Union collapse, he needs to relook at that because it wasn't done properly. Those are things that should give fear to NATO, fear to freedom-loving people. And when you show a weak hand dealing with Iran, it's not a good way to show American strength. And indeed, we've talked about this before. We got a president of the United States who seems to look at America not as an exceptional power, not as an exceptional country, but as one that is, say, another Greece. But the American people have proven time after time we've stood up against the Nazis. We stood up against so many of the world powers to bring freedom to this world. Where would the world be without America? And our president doesn't seem to appreciate that. Well, this is Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. And we've covered Iran, we've gone back and talked about Greece, and once again, we talked about the tragedy in Chattanooga. It will continue to unfold as I record this. I just have to tell you about the four Marines were killed. We know two others were shot in law enforcement, and such a tragedy that has happened. And will we see more of it or less of it? Well, until this administration can mouth the words Islamic extremism, then it appears that we don't understand where the terror and where the murders are coming from. So let's pray for our administration, too, that maybe after all these deaths, they can start seeing there's something happening and you can connect the dots. Please connect the dots. And that's what we here at Rock Splitting Politics want you to do, is bring the news to you, bring stories to you that we can connect the dots of what we need to do to bring America into more freedom and more liberty. That's this week's show, and next week we'll dig in presidential politics. Got to do that. And listen, you hear all about the Confederate flag and the Confederate flag coming down in South Carolina. And yes, this show originates in Tupelo, Mississippi, and in Mississippi we got the Confederate battle flag, actually the battle flag of Northern Virginia. It was never a Confederate flag. It was never flown over the Confederate States of America. But up in the corner, the Mississippi State flag, and there's a lot of controversy in the state and out of the state about that flag being in the corner, upper left-hand corner. So Doc Holliday has some thoughts on that, being from Mississippi, raised in Mississippi, born in Mississippi, and having a great-grandfather who, on my father's side, fought in the 34th Mississippi Infantry in Civil War, and Lieutenant Colonel, had a captain of the Mississippi State Cavalry that on my mother's side, great-grandfather there, of my great-grandfather. So got some, I'll share you some thoughts about the Confederate flag next week. Listen to us. Talk to you then. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for joining us today, and remember to listen again next week for another edition of Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. You can order Ed's new book, Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics, Tea Party versus the Status Quo, by clicking on the book cover right in front of you on the screen. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you again next week.